And hello, and thank you again for staying on air right now with the extended edition of the Paul Richard Christ Show. And now my remaining guest is Bill Ryan and Gary Cassidy. And we're discussing Gordon Novell, the man, the myth, the legend. And Bill, it's been a while since you and I have talked one-on-one. Tell me, altogether, what are your recollections? Do you think that his work will continue, or do you think that it'll be shut down for good from this point on? Who do you think, both you and Kerry can answer this, who do you think will pick up the mantle?
Well, as I was saying maybe about 10 minutes ago, just before the break, one of the problems here faced by anybody who's trying to put something out there in the real world in physical operational form is that, as any free energy developer will tell you, then they face a whole different series of challenges. They're not just theoretical challenges or funding challenges or trying to get a team together challenges. They're actually faced with that if the powers that be, or whatever we want to call them, don't want something to physically manifest, they want it to be produced, they want something to fly, then they're going to do whatever it takes to get in the way of that entire enterprise. And Gordon never stopped pushing, as everyone has been saying in the last hour or two. But what I remember is ever since 2006, right up in the last 5 or 6 years, he would always try, he would always get setbacks, he was always getting interfered with. There would be all manner of obstacles in his way. And I think that you've got to be a pretty exceptional chief executive, let us say, as Kerry was saying earlier, to actually push through all of that and make something work when you've got all the vested interests who are operating against him. And I think that's a pretty hard act to follow. I don't know whether we're going to have any UFOs flying in someone's garage anytime soon. It hasn't happened yet. And it would take a lot of money, and I think some kind of a tacit go-ahead from the agenda holders in order to permit this to happen. And I don't know whether we're there yet.
Okay, and we have a question off off topic right now from the chat room. Bill, have you had any contact with Charles in 2012? And how is his ground crew doing in? Is it Volacamba?
Okay. There's two separate questions there. No, I haven't had any contact with Charles for over a year. I have no idea what he's up to. And that was the brief answer to a potentially much longer one, which is probably beyond the scope of any radio show. And I'm currently in Ecuador, as a lot of people know. I had dinner with George Green last night. He's here also. And there are a lot of people now who are gradually moving out of the States as their circumstances permit. This is a much safer place to be in, measured against a whole variety of counts. And I'm not the only person who believes that that we may see a lot of changes in North America during the course of the next 6 to 9 months. And I admire Kerry's view, if Kerry's still there, which I believe is pretty much to hold the front line, right where the front line may need to be held. And what we're doing here in Ecuador is, I guess it's what George Green would have called a ground crew operation. We're getting together a whole bunch of people, and we're preparing as a backup plan, if you like, for what happens if anything else in the rest of the world might go down.
Well, and one thing I'm going to interject here, and it'll be a statement then followed with that will be a question, Bill and Kerry, and I want you both to chime in if you would. I believe one of the main reasons why we're not going to see the Flux liner or any current technologies based on that model ever released to the public. It goes back to the paradigm dealing with alternative three and how, and you brought up Earth Changes, Bill. I agree with that. I believe, and I've written in my new book, Redemption, the Prophecy Chronicles, the Final Chronicle, about the interaction with Nibiru, or even with Nemesis, Planet X, if you would, with the Earth-Sun environment, and how that could create catastrophic Earth changes that might end up becoming an extinction level event. And what I believe is that these secret societies already know that this is about to occur and that they have prepared for it for years and that they have prepared for it using technologies such as ARV to develop ways of getting off planet while the getting is good, and recolonizing in other parts of the solar system, you know, planetoid, planetary bodies, planets per se, before these Earth changes would be brought in, would be catastrophic enough that a majority of mankind may not survive. And I want your input on it. What do you think? Do you think that they're using these technologies to get off planet while they still have time?
Well, it's a fascinating topic, and there is evidence out there. A little while ago, I collected 6 or 7 data points that suggested the fairly extraordinary idea that the elite of the planet, the people who really believe that they're running the show and who kind of own the place, are actually preparing to bail out. There's quite a lot of circumstantial evidence that's surfaced over the years that they're preparing to jump ship and go elsewhere. And it can't be proven. One of the big questions that a lot of people in the alternative media have been discussing for years now is, I mean, it's unquestioned that ever since the early 1950s, trillions of dollars have been spent in the development of what Rich Dolan called a breakaway civilization. There's an enormously high technology in the underground bases, not only in North America, but in Europe and Russia and China. And there's something that the elite of the world seem to know that we certainly don't. And what we don't know is whether they're preparing for something that they know will happen, or that they feel they know will happen, or that they're concerned might happen, and this is just kind of standard military defensive thinking. My own point of view is that they're guarding against something which they think might happen, but they don't actually know whether it's going to play out or not. For example, a little while back, Kerry and I were contacted. October 2007, October 2007. Sorry, it was either 2007, 2008. I think it was 2007. We were contacted by somebody who anyone listening to this show would recognize the name of. This is a Disclosure Project witness who currently was working with a top secret security clearance for the Department of Homeland Security. And one is legitimately entitled to ask the question, why would a rocket scientist be working for the Department of Homeland Security with a top secret clearance? And this man told us that we should prepare, basically, for not only for an abrupt geomagnetic pole reversal, and there's evidence that this is actually starting to happen right now. A lot of people are tracking this. This is in the real world and can be tracked in the public domain. But also that there would be a corona mass ejection, one or more corona mass ejections of the same scale as the 1859 Harrington event. And I contacted this guy again back in March of this year to ask him for an update. And after I sent him three emails, to my astonishment, he replied, and he confirmed his original data. And what he said was very interesting, and to me it was very plausible. He said that the current estimate was that there would be a major event of the scale of the Carrington event, the Carrington event, or more, or larger. And this was, the current estimate of timing was December or January coming, and that it was not known whether or not this would disrupt the power grid and the internet and communications grid to the extent that it possibly could. They didn't know what effects this was going to cause, but they're expecting this. And the note of plausibility for me about this was that they did not know exactly what was going to happen, but they were bracing themselves and preparing themselves for something, and the public is not being told. Of course, there are mainstream articles now being published increasingly, and this is even surfacing in the mainstream media, that the solar cycle is about to peak in the next 6 months or so, and maybe something unusual is going to happen. And it seems to me, let's just be cautious about this, it seems to me to be credible information, and it seems to me prudent that we should prepare for this in some sensible way. The joke that this source actually wrote in his email, he said, you better get a lot, he said, it's going to get very hot. He said, better get a lot of sunblock or better still go underground. Now, that was a joke, but he was basically trying to say that there was something here which we should be paying attention to and which we shouldn't overlook. And I personally am taking this fairly seriously.
And Carrie, are you currently there?
Yes.
Okay, would you... The question I have for both of you is, it goes to the Planet X or Nibiru hypothesis. Now, we have a large mass, ground dwarf in size, interacting with the Earth-Sun space. Its gravimetric, or the gravity that it exerts on both the Sun and the Earth would be sufficient enough to create large coronal mass ejections. So are we looking at them confirming that Bill and Kerry, either one of you go ahead and chime, that maybe that the Nibiru hypothesis is correct?
Well, first of all, let me reply to a couple of the things Bill has referenced, because I have to agree with him that witness was someone substantial who should know what he's talking about. And I agree, I think Bill will also acknowledge that Henry Deacon had told us years in advance of anyone else, actually, about this potential event that would knock the grid down. In fact, it is in the video that I show people when I speak, basically a portion of the United States getting blacked out. And that is what Dan Sherman was hired to do as a precog. As someone who is able to communicate with various groups of aliens telepathically, he was trained to be there during that time. Now, he defected from his position, but there is no guarantees, I have to say, and I think he even acknowledged during the interview, or at least off the camera, off the record, that and I know I can say this much, that there's every possibility that should this happen, that not only are other precogs put in those positions, and no doubt there would have been many of them, but that they may tap him to come back into the fold, so to speak, in the interest of humanity, if you want to call it that. And so this is the kind of thing we're looking at. Yes, it's a high possibility, although I do recall Henry Deacon also said that it could be a pulse beam weapon or something else of another nature. In other words, that even if this didn't happen as a result of a solar flare, it may be something that they cause on purpose. you know, just because it suits their agenda. So we're always looking at those aspects. In other words, what's going to be natural and what's going to be helped along to go in whatever way that, that the various groups that are at war with each other, as well as, let's say, the masses of humanity, what they want. So I would say that. Now, as far as the Nibiru thing, there are many different perspectives. Again, I interviewed Andy Lloyd. He spent 10 years researching this from a scientific point of view. And the general consensus, even as Henry Deacon said, in and across the various intelligence agencies and defense industry, at least in above top secret, is that there is a brown dwarf second sun that is part of our solar system that does come through and does have planets rotating around it. Now, whether that planet is going to come through at this time and whether it will come close enough to make a difference, I don't know. There are different perspectives on that. I do know that there have also been told, I've been told by back channel people, that there are other bodies in our solar system of which we are not aware and not told about. And one or two of those may be planetoids on the way in, and they could be disruptive. So this is where you get into a whole conjecture about what's coming in, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that there was a comet that was recently discovered that they actually made an announcement about that's also on the way in. Whether that will do anything or not, I don't know. There definitely seemed to be something in the area of the Oort cloud, from what I understand, which is pretty far out there, but nonetheless could be perturbing the planets in our solar system and interacting with our sun. In fact, Planet X could be a lot closer than we think. It could actually, if it is a planet that is on its own trajectory. Now, whether it's part of this group that goes around the brown dwarf, I don't know. This is where it gets very, very confused. The Antarctica telescopes, the interaction with Antarctica, with various things going on there, heavy-duty emphasis right now down there could be an indicator that there's something up. You know, there's some body being photographed constantly in the sky. I get photos all the time. They're showing us something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's this body we're talking about. Bill, do you have a perspective? I imagine you do on this.
Yeah, sure. It's something which, like yourself, I've been following for quite a number of years. One of the things that Henry Deacon told us, as you'll remember very clearly, he said the problem is that everything's happening at once. Not only have you got plans for World War III, you've got all kinds of orchestrated financial collapse, you've got something is happening to the sun at the moment, as we were talking earlier, and there are a number of potential reasons for that, and one of the things is that the whole electromagnetic balance of the solar system, just to put it really crudely, is being perturbed by the presence of a large incoming object. And a lot of people have been talking about this for quite a while. Dr. Bill Deagle, who we both know pretty well, has been speaking about this for years. So has Andy Lloyd, who I greatly respect. You did a good interview with him, and I greatly respect his research. My own position about this, as best I know, is that it's not anywhere close, but it's probably out there around about the orbit of Jupiter. It's coming this way. It's probably radiating in the infrared, which means that it's not visible yet by the kind of optical telescopes that amateur astronomers would have. But if it were anywhere closer, like going to appear, you know, in the next few months, then the amateur astronomers all over the world would already be able to see that. And they would be screaming from the rooftops about it, even if only for the very prosaic reason that every amateur astronomer has as a sort of secret personal objective to be able to name a major heavenly body for the first time that they have themselves discovered. And so there's a lot of personal ambition involved in the world of amateur astronomy. They're very competitive with each other about discovering new asteroids, new objects of any kind, and something as significant as a binary companion to our sun, no one's going to shut anybody up if they actually were, if it was out there to be seen by them. And this has not happened. And this means, in my own consideration, that it's nowhere close. Bob Dean told us in an interview that he gave with us, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, that his own inside sources said that it was probably going to swing in around about 2017. And from the jigsaw pieces of information that I've been able to put together, this is probably about right. This isn't going to happen anytime soon, like in the next kind of year or two. I think we've got a whole different set of problems to face in the immediate future. But I think that Planet X will be swinging by later on. It's not going to hit the planet or anything like this, but it's certainly going to be spectacular. That's the best I've got at the moment. And Kerry, I would love to ask you whether you broadly agree with what I've just said, or whether you've got any extra perspectives on that.
Well, yeah, the interesting idea about Jupiter, there being a planet in the vicinity of Jupiter, like I said, it is possible, again, because I get different stories from different people. And I don't know what's going on with you, Bill, and actually I haven't talked to Bill in, 6 months or something, so I've got no idea what he's been up to, et cetera, et cetera. But I do have constant contact with various sources and whistleblowers and so on. And I am getting information. But it's interesting to me that the Planet X story, so if you want to call it that, has been so guarded and so heavily influenced by disinfo and cross signals. And whenever something is like that, I mean, you have to look at it and find it very fascinating. I don't know if that means it's true. I certainly know that our car was broken into, if you recall, at Milan Airport after we just interviewed Luca Scantamburlo. They were obviously searching. They didn't take any money or credit cards or anything else that were in plain view. They were searching for what they hoped was evidence that was given to Luca by Barbato, Cristoforo Barbato, if people remember the story of the Jesuit priest who disclosed information to Cristoforo, the journalist Cristoforo Barbato. All of this is on our Luca Scantamburlo interview, which I highly recommend if you have questions about this whole story. I mean, I can't believe the Camelot interviews are just, and I know that sort of sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but you have to understand that from our perspective, we're as much sort of watching the interviews as participating in them. So I just find them to be a fascinating historical document that basically covers almost every question out there in a really amazing manner. But to kind of wrap this up so it doesn't become a lecture, let me just say that I think that's evidence, if you remember, that certainly the Italian government and quite possibly the Vatican were extremely concerned about evidence of Planet X now or something. And so I just can't discount that. I also can't discount the fact that after that happened and after the disclosure by Cristoforo Barbato, you know for a fact, Bill, that he couldn't get a job. He became unemployable. He was blacklisted. The number of things that have gone on, and then the Vatican telescope, there is no doubt whatsoever of the Vatican's obsession with having a telescope here in the U.S., I think it's heavily guarded. It just put out some recent information that sort of validated that again. It's pretty much old information, but it's still very important and very interesting. So something's going on with it, but again, it's just not clear what.
Well, yeah. Bill, it's about time for us to go on our final break now, this extended show. Before we get into the discussion, though, Angela, you're there in the background. I would like you to field this question yourself for them, since you edited the newest version of the book. So
yes, I had the honor of editing the book Sands of Time, so the new version does have more of a grammatically correct situation, but it certainly didn't take away from the book for me. Anyway, the question that comes from the chat is, has anyone in this panel read Sands of Time? And then the second part of that question is, if so, have they tried to bring the concept that Sean alludes to in his book regarding PX being used as a ruse to conceal the alien armada? Okay, so that's a pretty heavy question. I don't know.
I've read the book, and then I've actually been instrumental in getting that book sold.
So, I know you have, as a matter of fact. Yes,
absolutely, have read the book, and highly recommend it. On top of it, it is from a whistleblower testimony, and I believe Sean did his best to reveal all of that in a work of apparent
fiction,
mm-hmm. even though it is actually very nonfiction in many, many ways, and he did a very good job in that regard.
I thought so too, Carrie. I really did. I kind of walked away from the book just like everyone else, kind of changed a little bit as a person, you know, looking back, you know, with him bringing it all together in that book. I really was impressed and was honored to be able to throw my two cents in with the editing. But anyway, please continue.